A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, KSL News Time, 7:30.
It's 72 degrees.
Now we just got a few minor issues on city streets. I'm Andy Farnsworth.
KSL's top story this hour.
President Trump is preparing to nominate a new Supreme Court justice by the end of the week.
A top Senate Republican says they have enough votes to confirm. Our live team coverage begins with ABC's Mary Bruce in Washington.
President Trump overnight at a rally in Ohio, relishing the opportunity to fill another seat on the Supreme Court.
Who would like to see a woman justice of the Supreme Court? Who would like to see a male justice of the Supreme Court?
He's already promised it will be a woman, and he is expected to announce his decision at the end of this week.
Meanwhile, a top Republican says there are enough votes to confirm the incoming nominee. Mark Jackson has more on the Supreme Court and the rest of our top national stories live at the KSL National News Desk.
That's right, Amanda. Senate Republicans say they indeed do have enough votes to confirm a replacement for late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg before the November 3rd elections.
The nominee is going to be supported by every Republican in the Judiciary Committee.
Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Lindsey Graham on Fox News. Protesters, though, have been gathering outside the home of Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell this week, hoping that that doesn't happen. Meanwhile, President Trump has met with appeals court judge Amy Coney Barrett this week, considered the favorite to replace the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Mr. Trump says he expects to have a choice made by the end of the week. And Louisville, Kentucky police are out in force this morning ahead of a decision on whether or not police officers will be charged in the shooting death of Breonna Taylor. Civil rights attorney Vint Crump, who represents Taylor's family, says either way,
we've only wanted transparency and the truth to come out.
Taylor was shot by police on March 13th, and the U.S. is expected, if it hasn't already, hit 200,000 coronavirus deaths, accounting for around a fifth of all COVID-19-related fatalities around the world. With what could be a model for actions taken here in the U.S., pubs, bars, and restaurants in New England will have to close by 10 p.m. to tackle the surge in cases across the pond. Live at the KSL National News Desk, I'm Mark Jackson, KSL News Radio.
KSL's top stories on the coronavirus.
Following last week's dramatic increase in COVID-19 cases, there has been calls for a mask mandate in Utah County. But Sheriff Spokesman Spencer Cannon says this is a civil issue, not a criminal one.
There's a better way that it can be handled besides throwing the police at the problem and issuing tickets and making arrests.
Cannon says enforcing a mask mandate would take deputies away from other duties.
A Utah State University lecturer has a new video with tips to stop a mask fight before it begins. KSL News Radio's Mary Richards is live with more. Mary?
Amanda, they made this video to help professors, mainly if a student comes to class not wearing a mask as required on campus. But this can also help so many more people in these conversations. Claire Canfield is a lecturer and certified mediator, and here he outlines a way to do it.
You know, I notice you're not wearing your mask today, and I'm not sure if that's because you don't want to wear one, or maybe it's because you forgot it, and then ask for clarification. What's going on? Or can you help me understand?
Canfield says conflict stems from people's values, which can bring up strong emotions. So he says start with openness and humanize the other person. Live, Mary Richards, KSL News Radio.
BYU quarterback Zach Wilson says he got COVID-19 over the summer, but has since recovered. KSL News Radio's John Wojcik joins us with more on that. John.
Yeah, Sean, it's back to regular scheduled programming for the Cougars this weekend as they welcome Troy to Lavelle Edwards Stadium on Saturday for the home opener. It comes after the team had to postpone its game against Army last week after some athletes tested positive for coronavirus. Now, we don't know which players were impacted by the outbreak, although quarterback Zach Wilson has made it known that he wasn't involved. The junior starting quarterback has admitted to testing positive for coronavirus over the summer and is currently still on the 90-day exempt list. His exemption is set to end next week when BYU faces off against Louisiana Tech. Wilson says his symptoms were never very severe, and he believes he contracted the virus when getting together at a neighborhood get-together with a bunch of football players. Live, John Bocek, KSL News Radio.
KSL Weather with Grant Wayman. Football returns to Lavelle Edwards Stadium in Provo this weekend.
A lot of Cougar fans getting excited about the big football game coming up this weekend. I tell you what, it looks like sensational weather for a football game on Saturday afternoon with temperatures topping out in the middle 70s. So for the evening, temperatures cooling down. It'll definitely be blanket and jacket weather as we head into the evening hours.
Before then, our temperatures remain a little above normal with highs today, tomorrow, and Thursday in the mid-80s before falling into the 70s for the weekend.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.